Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Everybody, welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. This is Abby.
And this is Lori.
We're so glad you guys are joining us today. This is going to be episode 23. We're going to be talking about supports for adults with learning disabilities and ADHD, transitioning from high school, college years to adulthood and transitioning onto real life, real world. We have Beth McGaugh with us from Launchpad Consulting Group. And Beth was a part of our podcast from episode number 18. And we talked a lot about transitioning, working through high school transitions into college for students with learning disabilities. Welcome, Beth. Thank you for being here with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Abby and Lori.
Thank you.
We're excited that you're back. Thank you. So for those that didn't get to hear 18 yet, can you just give us a few seconds of kind of about you and what you do?
Sure. Well, I am a college and career consultant. So one of the hats that I wear is that I help students in high school find the right fit for them in college. Some of them have learning disabilities, ADHD, and others don't. So it's, you know, whatever needs that student has, I'm there to help them find the right fit. And then I also help coach adults, and that would mean, you know, a high school student that is graduated and is going on to the workforce, or maybe one that has graduated from college going into the workforce, or just somebody that's in the workforce. Right. Many of those do have LD or ADHD, and I help coach them find that right career fit, and hopefully, you know, be on their way.
That sounds great. So what ages, when we talk about adults, what age adults do you work with?
Well, you're an adult at 18. Mm-hmm. So it's any 18 and above.
Okay. So even up to, I could get help from you if I needed to make a change in my career.
Abby's not making a change in her career. She's staying right here. But, you know, but just for example purposes.
You could, a 40-year-old could come in and get your services and your help, right?
Yes. And I have had that. I have had older, I wouldn't say older adults, but I've had more mature adults come to me, and I help them with maybe finding a new career or helping them with their resume, interview skills.
Okay.
Everything in that line.
You know, I think we see that a lot when we work with adults, that especially those that have had a learning challenge, whether that be a learning disability or ADHD, they start a career, maybe don't go to college, maybe just jump right into the workforce and start a career, but it doesn't really fulfill them. So they get to a place where they're like, you know what, I'm ready to go back to school, do something a little bit more fulfilling, follow a passion, but I don't really know how to do that. So that would be where you would come in for them as well, right? Helping them even at that point, how to go back to school and...
Sure. Well, I mean, most, I think research shows that most people have more than one career in their lifetime. So, you know, we switch careers like five to seven different times throughout their lifetime. I'm a good example of that.
Interesting.
I mean, I went to college, I got an engineering degree, and then from there I I published a magazine. So, you know, I was a publisher. I was a nonprofit manager. So, you know, there's a lot, and now I'm a career and college consultant. So, wow. You know, there's lots of different things you can do in your lifetime. And what I like to tell my clients is what you start out at doesn't mean that you have to be there for the rest of your life. So we need to remember that, That's true. You know, if you're feeling like you're in a rut, if it's not something that you enjoy, you know, life is too short. We've got to find that next step.
It's true. We both, Lori and I both started out as teachers and then switched to being educational diagnosticians. So we stayed in the education field, but we changed career choices. I even took a year off from education and thought I wanted to go into, you know, 9-to-5 corporate America.
Me too. I did too. I took a whole year and was like trained. I scheduled training classes for Microsoft.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Oh my gosh. I wore a suit to work every day and everything. Yeah.
I was applying for jobs in sales, like pharmaceutical sales, medical equipment sales, textbook sales. It didn't pan out for me. And I ended up substitute teaching, and that brought me back into education and helped me realize I loved where I was and what I was doing and needed to go back to that. But I think it is common for adults to change their career choices and options. Mm-hmm. And we see adults oftentimes with learning challenges or ADHD that are, like Lori said, maybe not fulfilled. But also we see some adults that are struggling in their current work or career position. They're struggling with meeting the expectations, getting the tasks completed, doing the job, fulfilling the responsibilities. And they come to us oftentimes wanting to see if there is a learning disability or ADHD. And then we do hear oftentimes, should I make a career change? So how would you help someone that is transitioning and thinking they want to make a career change or thinking that they're struggling in their specific career that they are in?
Well, it's very helpful, I think, to do some assessments. Mm-hmm. So one would be a strength and values test to find out what their strengths are. I also give an assessment that's a career assessment. So it combines your aptitudes or what you're good at with your interests, and it will gives a really detailed report. That will tell, that will highlight, you know, what you're good at. Maybe you're a born researcher, or you like to do hands-on work, or whatever. And then it transitions that into, here are some careers that fit those skills you're good at and your interests. And so from there, we search. Mm-hmm. For jobs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it means more education. Many times it's certifications. It doesn't have to be a 4-year college. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we try and write the resume so that it fits that person and that job that they're applying to. So know that that sometimes isn't the end either. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes getting that job, seeing what it's like, and then transitioning to something else.
Do you ever try to help them maybe? So sometimes when I'm talking to high school kids, I'll talk to them about getting like an internship or like a part-time job in a general field that they might be interested in, just so they could get a taste. Like, is this what you really want? So is there ever ways that you can get them, or do you help them maybe find those kinds of opportunities where it's not like a huge change? Let's just taste it, see what you think. Is that possible when you're an adult? Because you still have to make an income, right? I'm like, you can't just get an intern somewhere.
That's the issue, is the when you're an adult that's been in the workforce and has bills to pay, sometimes you can't get those experiences unless you actually get a paying job.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you can't talk to other people who are in that position.
True.
And, you know, they can help guide you on the path, you know, find out what they do. I mean, and you can Google search pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. Lots of YouTube videos out there that show, you know, various careers and what they do. So for what I do normally, it's I've got to get this person a job quickly.
Right.
Because they're paying rent. Mm-hmm. And Sometimes it works for them and sometimes it doesn't, but it's all a great learning experience for them. And I think that adults, especially with ADHD, they tend to do this self-talk that, and it's a negative self-talk.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah. So, you know, and they've grown up with this. And so by the time they get in the workforce and, you know, you have a boss that doesn't quite understand the way you work, then it can be really difficult for them. So then we have to like talk about ways to overcome that.
Do you ever have an adult come to you? I'm sure you do, but you know, how do you approach it when someone has not yet been diagnosed with something like ADHD, but they come to you and they've had 12 jobs and, you know, they're just spinning their wheels, you know, how do you help them kind of, because sometimes you have people probably that really understand ADHD, know their strengths and weaknesses, and then others that are completely oblivious. So are you able to kind of walk them through, let's take a step back, let's figure out what's going on and then talk about.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly that. You know, we talk about what's going on, what are the issues that they're having in the workplace. But if I suspect that maybe it's the ADHD, then I think it's very helpful to get the diagnosis. And then you can move on. If you know that that's what's holding you back, then you can, it's freeing, you know, any kind of diagnosis, really. Learning disabilities, autism. I knew I have a friend who wasn't diagnosed with autism till he was in his 40s.
Wow.
And finally, he it was very freeing for him. Like, oh, that's what's going on.
That's huge.
So... It is helpful to have that diagnosis. Do you need it in the workforce? No, you don't. You know what you need to do to accommodate,
right,
you know, the issues. Then you've probably been doing that all along, anyway. But there are some things that you can change to help you, be a better employer, employee. And one of those is talking to your employer about, you know, the issues that you're having. And many times they will accommodate, I'm not saying always, because, you know, it's human nature. We don't always have positive people in our lives. But, I mean, I really like to say that, you know, we want to try and find environments that are friendly. So
after the career assessments that you do with them, you've talked about helping them kind of look at careers that would be a good fit for them and their skills, finding an environment that's conducive to their style of learning and success and being where they can be happy and be successful. Do you help them with interviewing skills and resume writing skills if they need help? Is that something that you would provide as part of your consulting to help them take that next step to try to go get that job?
Well, definitely. So we do the career testing and find out what their strengths are, and we do a job search. And so the resume will have, you know, what jobs they've had, and we make sure that it's very powerful and, you know, has those action-oriented words in there. But we also, I like to include on there what their skills are at the very beginning, because right now, when you do a job search, you are applying to job search engines.
Right.
Indeed, Glassdoor, all of those, and they're great, because if you can upload your resume and, you know, all that, it populates all the information most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time. And then we also use that for cover letters. I really am a strong believer that you need to write a cover letter with every resume that you turn in, because you need to tell your story.
If you're an adult with a learning disability, is that something that you talk to them about how they, is that something you present in the interview? Is that something you present? Like how do, what is your recommendation typically when you're working with an adult on how they disclose that information, or do you think they should disclose it?
Well, as far as disclosing, that's a whole other issue. Really, it's very personal. There are ways that you can disclose without saying, I have a learning disability, or I have ADHD. It can be, you know, really struggling with this time management here, and I just need you, you know, is it possible for you to break it down for me so I know what the most immediate goal is, and then I'll work from there. So it's a matter of, I think, not saying, hey, I have a learning disability, but what are the issues that you're having?
So would you talk about that in the interview? Like if you're interviewing for a job, would you bring any of that up? To find out if they're willing to accommodate, or do you just roll with it and...
Well, if you have questions, they may say, do you have any questions for me? Yeah, I would say, how would you deal with this situation?
Would you be open to allowing me to have accommodations to help with my reading struggles or with my time management struggles?
I just feel like that's so risky to talk about in the interview.
In the interview. Or do you wait until you've gotten the job?
I would say you wait until you get the job, but that's the same with college. You don't disclose that you have a learning disability when you're applying to college, unless you're writing it in the essay or a personal statement that says, this is what I've overcome. So it's for adults in the workforce. It's not about saying I need accommodations. It's about saying, do you work this way?
Right. Because every college offers some level of support. So you don't necessarily have to disclose it. I mean, obviously some are better than others, but when you're going into a job, you don't have any idea how flexible these people are. So I think it's more about trying to
feel them out.
Yeah. Ask the questions that won't necessarily disclose your struggles, but will allow you to see how flexible these people are. And I think that's just depending on the job and the employer. And
so I'll give you an example. So if you are learning how to, you're training, say you're a personal trainer and you're training someone, and you might need notes to know what's the next thing I need to do with this client. If you're interviewing for a job at a fitness center, you might want to say, hey, is it okay if I look at my phone on my notes, or if I have note cards when I'm working with my clients? Now, you're not directly saying I have working memory issues. Mm-hmm. You're just asking, I'm going to be a better employee if I can do this. That's the type of, I think, approach that we need to take, or adults need to take, when they have issues like LD, ADHD, it's not a matter of disclosing and saying, I have learning disabilities, ADHD, what are you going to do for me?
Right.
It's like, I know I need to have these notes, so is that possible? If they say no, you don't want to work there.
Right. And I think that goes back to the whole self-advocacy thing. I think we talk about that every time. Right. By the time you're at that place as an adult, you need to be okay with your needs and okay in asking for that help.
Yes.
And I think that's probably something, do you find that you have to work on that with people to get them comfortable for asking?
I do, because many of the adults that I'm working with come in with that burden. With that negative self-talk, with people that have, told them they're not enough, that, they're not smart, and that's just not true. Mm-hmm. And so it's working through that negative self-talk to get them to the point where they realize, well, wait a minute, I can do this if I have these, accommodations that I've come up with myself.
Right. So you help them realize what their needs are, be okay talking about their needs and advocating for their needs, and even help them kind of figure out what types of supports they may need in a specific job, depending on the job responsibilities and expectations. Is that something you can help adults with that have learning disabilities and or ADHD?
Yes. So with ADHD and learning disabilities too, many of them have executive function issues, time management, being able to not procrastinate. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways that I like to, one of the accommodations that I try to present to them that they can use in their job is a planner. And this planner that I have a specific planner that I like to use.
Which one would that be?
You know what? I've got to...
We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in because it's like a generic name.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Like Planner Pro or something
that. I'm anxious to see what it is.
But what I love about this is that it has an area where you write out all the your categories of your life. So it could be your work, your family, your chores, your...
grocery list.
That would be under chores.
I guess you're right.
It could be gratitude. It could be, all these basic categories. Then you take that and you funnel it into, okay, so for my chores, I need to make my grocery list. I need to vacuum the carpets, And then from there, you put it into the days of the week and the hours of the day. So it's funneling it down. It's chunking it.
That's
and then
great.
Funneling it so that these are like, I can do this because I only need to really vacuum my carpets once a week. So I'm going to do that Tuesday morning. Unless you have a really hairy dog, then you might have to do it every day. those types of supports can really help free up your mind to be able to do more. And when you're able to do that, then you're more productive and you're feeling better about yourself.
Right.
And then you can check it all off.
And you're not as overwhelmed. It sounds like it would make it... You can visualize all the tasks and make them more manageable by breaking them down into smaller tasks and putting them on specific days of the week that you're going to try to accomplish that task.
Yeah.
So that does sound like a great support.
Now, you can't procrastinate in doing it. That's the other,
Right.
And so, like this week, I don't have mine written down. but when I do, I feel so much better, that I've gotten... more done.
More accomplished.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever run into unrealistic expectations? Like, I want to be a doctor, like a job that's just way outside of probably. And how do you work with that? Because I would imagine you probably see that.
Oh, yeah. We do. But, there are lots of jobs that you can do that are healthcare related.
Sure.
And so we talk about that. What are the careers that are related to that end goal? Who knows? They might be able to actually do that in the end. But again, it's kind of goes down to that chunking thing again. Doctor is a lot of years of schooling and, so let's just start with the beginning. What can we do now to reach that goal? And so it might be, so they're going to college. So it might be less, we just got to finish, the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, most of them, it's the first year. Because what happens is that they're taking classes that they don't really enjoy. And it's the English, the algebra, the physics, the chemistry. Those basic classes that are just not fun. And for many of our students who are ADHD, if it's not fun, they don't want to do it. So you have to be able to push through that. So I always try and say, let's find one or two classes that you really, really want to do and know that you just got to finish the other ones. So yeah, sometimes it's a matter of just taking it one step at a time.
Yeah.
So what would you say, out of curiosity, are some of the biggest hurdles for individuals with learning disabilities and ADHD transitioning from college into the real world or the workplace or adulthood? What are some of those biggest challenges? I know you mentioned figuring out what their own needs are is something, but what else are some of the hurdles or challenges that you see in that transition into adulthood in the real world?
You know, it's so individual, but I would say realistic expectations of first, how much money you're going to make when you get out of college. What types of jobs are you, if you start out, with I'll give you an example of one that I know from personal experience with family members, get out of college with the degree and say kinesthesiology. That's a big for this population. That seems to be one that they really like. That's because exercise is so important to our adults and kids with ADHD. And that's what they're good at, right? So when you get out of school with a degree like that, you don't automatically get a job in kinesthesiology. Many times you have to have a certification of some type, personal trainer or other types of certifications out there. So it means more schooling. And that can be a hurdle because, gosh, I just got through 4, 5, 6 years of school because it might take them a little longer. And now I have to do more. And then I have to take a test.
Right.
That can be very frustrating. You're making $13 an hour. So it can be hard, but they have to remember that we got to take it one step at a time. And so you get the experience, and then once you get that, then you can apply for another job. And so it's not always, a rosy path.
Right. It reminds me, that's kind of like a psychology degree. It's like there's just not a lot you can just do with psychology. You're going to have to do more. And I feel like that then almost falls back on the college, the college counselors or whatever. Because I don't feel like they're setting up realistic expectations. Like, this is a great degree, but what are you going to do with it?
Right.
I feel like we've even had that conversations with students that we've worked with. That's great, but what do you want to do with it? Well, I don't know. Well, you realize really to do anything in that field, you're probably going to have to go to more school. And you're exactly right. I don't think a lot of students even understand that. I think adults don't understand that until they do it.
Well, psychology is another major that many students really like to.
So interesting.
It's very interesting. You're learning about yourself and others and it is kind of it's a helping field as well. But yeah, I do like to counsel my students in before they even get into college, to think about that. Think about where it's going to get you when you get out of college. And if you're willing to go and get more schooling, that's awesome. And I'll be there to help you with that. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, then you may want to choose something else. And that may even mean college might not be the right path. Four-year college, it might be a technical school, might be hands-on learning of some type. So it doesn't have to be, all four-year colleges.
That sounds smart that you start talking about it with them before they even enter college, and so that they kind of are planning ahead and looking ahead at those expectations when they choose their majors and choose their courses, to think about, do I want to go right into the workforce after this four-year degree or this two-year degree? Am I willing and able and motivated enough to go on to for further schooling. So I like that you get them thinking about that before they even start college and have to choose their major. I think that's great.
Right. Well, they also need to remember that they, you know, we're talking about before, internships are so important in college. I went to a school that offered a co-op program. So by the time I graduated, I had 2 years of experience in my field, which I could put on my resume. That's super important as well.
I do feel like we spend a lot of time getting kids ready for that transition to college. Mm-hmm. But then we don't do the rest. And I feel like what you're doing with these college to adult and adults is so important, because I feel like we kind of put them in college and we just assume that they're going to just go. It's like that ramp and they're going to take off. And it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always work so seamlessly. And I do think there's a lot of information that needs to be given and planted during those college years before those kids, adults, go out into the workforce. Because I think you're exactly right. I think the expectations, I know my son is in college and I'm fairly certain he thinks he's going to have a six-figure salary mm-hmm. when he gets out, and he's going to have get to buy a car and live in a house. And I'm like, oh, babe, no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's same. I have a nephew who is a senior in college, and he's already talking about where he's going to live, the apartments that he's going to rent, what he's going to have, what he's going to drive, the amount. He's looked up even on the internet the mean salary for the career choice that he's going to go into or that mm-hmm. he wants to get, which – That's the mean. That's the average. It's a ballpark, and you're not going to start out at that salary. And even if he can get that job that he wants right out of college. So the expectations do need to be set and kind of simmered down a little bit. He thinks that he's already planning his six-figure income as well for life after college.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have goals.
It is good to have goals. So how do you get the word out? How do you access those kids? How do you let them know that your services are available, that you're there to help with the career planning? How do you tap into that? Or is it just...
Well, I appreciate you having me here.
Of course.
On this podcast. Hopefully that will help.
Sure.
But yeah, it's not easy. I try and tap into some high schools. Sometimes they're not quite as open about, offering paid services, because, I am paid services.
Sure.
Social media, Instagram account and Facebook.
And I think the parents, right? I mean, that's probably who you really need to get in front of, because the kids aren't going to think this is I don't need that. I'm good.
Yeah. And I have a newsletter, try to give hints and tips and things and my website.
Great.
LaunchpadConsultingGroup.com.
Yeah. I just don't think there's enough of this information. And just thinking about my own child's journey through college, in addition to the millions of kids that we see, not millions, hundreds of kids we see that are at that place and that they're making decisions. And I don't know that they're always informed.
We also have to remember that that our young adults who are who have diagnosed learning disabilities, ADHD, they are delayed. So they are, I'm going to say, at the minimum 3 to 5 years. So when you have an 18-year-old going to college, they really are not making decisions like a neurotypical 18-year-old. They're more at 15. When they're 21, they're more like they're 18.
Yeah.
When they're 28, hopefully they're making good decisions, but really they're like they just got out of college. So we have to remember that that it's not a bad thing. We just need to remember where they are in life
so
and
true.
In decision making.
Good point.
That's a great point. I don't think people can take that into consideration at all. I think they assume they're at the college, that they hit that level and they go just like everybody else. And they do go just like everybody else.
And that's why they got to make sure they go to the right place mm-hmm. And have the right supports.
See, it all starts back there.
It does, right.
So if they're LD, ADHD, mainly LD, both LD, ADHD, you got to make sure that you go to, if you're going to a four-year college or even a two-year college, you need to make sure that the accommodations are there for them. Because if they're not, most of the time they will sink. And a lot of it has to do with the social side of things too.
Sure,
and being pulled on that social side, wanting to be like everybody else and, you know, but they need somebody that they can be accountable to. Some need it more than others. Mm-hmm. So when I work with students, I do ask a lot of readiness questions to make sure that they're ready. Mm-hmm. Some of them, I'm not so sure they're ready, but the parents think they are. So I try and work on those skills while I'm working with them.
And I think that just lays the groundwork then for their journey all the way through into their career. And I think you'll probably have more successful adults, even with learning disabilities,
yeah,
when that process has been started so much sooner.
Yeah.
Or so much earlier. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This has been great. I think we spent a lot of time talking about school age kids, mm-hmm, and what can happen in school and high school and even college, but we don't really ever talk much about life after that.
That's
and I think
true.
That we do have a lot of adults that are either undiagnosed and struggling or diagnosed and struggling and don't know what to do. And so they feel kind of lost. They're stuck in a job they hate.
Right.
So to know that they're, you know, that reminder that it's not forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that there are resources out there that can help you. You know, before meeting you and getting to know what you do, I didn't know that there were resources out there to help support adults in the workplace with career changes, career choices, getting supports and accommodations for learning disabilities and ADHD. So I love that you have your consulting group and that the services you provide also work with not just students in high school and college, but also adults. So I appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you. Well, I will say that there are a lot of supports out there. So if it's something that I can't provide, then I will refer to others. And getting back to the college, I wanted to point out that, you know, if the school does not offer the type of support that your student needs, there are, luckily now with mm-hmm. the internet and all the virtual options that we have, there are groups out there that will help with academic coaching wherever you are.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's a whole other, podcast. I've done a little bit. That's not my specialty, but I do know others who do that. And so I would suggest that, you know, if your student doesn't get that where they are, there are options and you can either reach out and I will, you know, give you some names or, you know,
academic coaching college level.
At the college level. Then for adults, you know, there are other options as well. So
Life coaches.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
ADHD coaches.
I appreciate the two of you bringing this to our attention too, because again, like you said, this isn't something that we talk about. You know, we talk about getting our kids into college or getting our kids into a career uh-huh. of some type, but then we don't talk about what happens once they're there
and keep them there
and how to keep them there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we will include all of your information in the show notes. I know your website's with our last episode that we did. I think that was 18. But we'll put all that in there again today. And if you guys have any questions or want to share some topic ideas, you can reach us at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. Beth, thank you so much for today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us and listening. Take care and have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.